Tonight, in the time remaining, we want to continue together in our study, A Sure Foundation, the Principles of Bible Study. Each one of us has been afforded the blessing in this day and age to be able to come, to be able to open before us the very words of God, and to be able to study them for ourselves and to discover the immeasurable riches and treasures of God's truth. The truth of God's word is vast in its riches, and those riches are at our disposal. And it's amazing that more of God's people aren't availing themselves of the wonderful treasure and riches of the word of God and taking the time to dig and to study the truth of his word and learning what God has for them. It may honestly be that in some ways at times we become intimidated by the task of Bible study. We begin to feel maybe that it's a little beyond our grasp and our understanding. Yet I trust that as we go through this study together, we will learn the necessary skills that we might be able to rightly divide the word of truth, that we might be able to interpret the word of God as we observe its truths, that we might be able then to apply it to where we live today. I am always amazed and I marvel at the thought that the word of God written so long ago is so relevant for us today. Every time you open the pages of his word and you begin to search it and to study it and you begin to discover the truths, you can see how it applies to where we live today. And oh, that the Lord would teach us through this time and through this study of how to rightly divide the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 is our theme text in this study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're going to bow at this time, and I want to ask the Lord's blessing upon our time together before we embark in our study tonight of these things and these thoughts together. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that as we come and as we gather together, as we seek to study the word of God, Lord, that you would help us and you would teach us, that Lord, you would guide us in this study, that we would learn, that we might be able to take these things that we learn and apply them to our own study of the word of God, that we may be able to dig into the vast riches of the treasure of his word, that we as a people might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and together be to his praise, honor, and glory. So Father, we ask and pray your blessing and help tonight in these things. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Since the Bible is the word of God, and since the Bible reveals to us the will of God, nothing could be greater for us, and nothing should be more important than a proper understanding of the truths that God has revealed. All of us and every believer is called upon to rightly divide, to properly handle the truths of the Word of God. We are all to be diligent and to be zealous and to study that we might learn and that we might grow. If we're going to rightly divide the Word of truth, if we're going to properly handle the Word of God, we have discussed already that there are three things that are required. Number one, there must be a diligent effort in searching the Scripture through the means of observation. When you and I come and we read the Word of God, we are to do so seeking to observe its truth, seeking to find out what it is God wants to say and what he is saying to us in his word. We are not coming and simply fulfilling a duty. We are not simply doing a responsibility and a task that we can check off and move on to the next day. But we are to come with a diligent effort as we search the scripture and to be observing what God has to say, that we might be able to rightly divide the word of truth. It also requires a digesting of that truth of scripture through the means of interpretation. Not only do we need to know what the Bible says, but we now want to know what it means. And we want to take the time to digest that truth, to understand that truth, that we might even be able to explain it unto others. We want to have a good handle on what God's Word means. It's important for us. If we're going to rightly divide the Word of truth, if we're going to rightly handle God's Word, and finally, we are to dutifully relate the Scripture to our lives through application. God's goal and His purpose for you and for me is not simply that we observe, and not simply that we understand the meaning, but He has written to us His Word. He has declared clearly His meaning that we might take that truth and apply it to where we live. God's Word is to be applied to your life and to mine. God's Word is to be applied to our families. God's Word is to be applied to our relationships. God's Word is to be applied at the way we are at work and the way we respond to those who are around us. God wants us to apply His Word. The Bible was given to us by God with the intent to reveal to us His truth. God didn't write it that He could hide His truth from us. God wrote that we might understand just what He wanted from us. He intended that mankind be able to understand His Word, and all who came to that Word would be able to clearly interpret the meaning and apply that truth to their lives. There has been a misunderstanding of God's Word over the years, that only those who are skilled in the study of the original languages, or those who are considered the scholars, the priests, the pastors, are able to handle the Word of God. But folks, God's Word was written for you and for me. It was written for all mankind. It was written by some who were scholars and some who were fishermen. It was written by those who were farmers. It was written for the average man. And it was intended that we be able to know God's truth and apply that truth to our lives. That's precisely why we have come and are endeavoring to learn how to better study the Bible. Many today would claim, again, that the average person is incapable of understanding the complexities of the Bible. Many would think that it's beyond human comprehension. The problem is, we do struggle at times to understand what the Bible is teaching and understand what the Bible is saying. And if we don't understand the teaching of the Bible, then I think we have to conclude that the problem lies at our feet. God intended that you and I be able to understand His Word. He wrote with that intention in mind. He wrote that you might know His truth. And if we're not understanding, then the reality is the problem most likely lies at our feet. There are several general reasons why I believe men struggle to understand the teaching of the Bible. I'm going to list those for you tonight. Number one, men struggle to understand the Bible because we do not believe the Bible is true in every part. Many today are denying the inspiration of the Bible. Men today teach things like the Bible contains the Word of God, instead of proclaiming that the Bible is the Word of God. We need to hold to the inspiration of Scripture. We need to believe that God inspired every part and every word and every thought. And it was written for the intent that we might understand God's message to mankind. But when we don't believe that the Bible is true in every part, we're going to struggle to understand His Word. You can't deny things like the inspiration of Scripture and come to the right conclusions of understanding the Word of God. And by the way, sometimes we pragmatically deny the inspiration of Scripture. Oh yes, I know what the Bible says. But for me, it really doesn't mean that. We are in essence denying the very fact that that thought and that word from God really isn't from God. It's not for me. We're denying such things. We also, number two, refuse to obey the Bible in every part. Not only are we denying the inspiration of the Bible, but we're also rejecting the authority of the Bible. God's word is no longer authoritative for us. It is no longer the final authority for faith and practice. And by the way, the second is obvious, the obvious result of the first. When you begin to deny the inspiration of the Bible, you're going to reject its authority. But if you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, you will place it as the authority in your life because it is the very words of God and worth our time, effort, and our study. There's another reason. We lack the diligence to study every part of the Bible. Too often, many today come to the Bible with their own ideas. They seek to support their own ideas instead of coming to the Bible and allowing the Spirit of God to show us what His truth is. If you're coming to the Word of God and the study of the Bible with your own preconceived ideas and saying, I want to find a passage of Scripture that holds to my teaching and my belief, you're approaching the study of the Word of God all wrong. We are to come to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to take His Word and teach us God's meaning for us. He wrote it that we might understand what He wanted. We don't come to God with our ideas and say, now I'm going to prove my thoughts. We come to the Word of God and allow the Word of God to teach us what His Word has to say. How can those who refuse to trust the Word of God and obey the Word of God expect to fully understand God's Word? And yet there are some today, and that's exactly why they struggle. We don't really believe the Bible. We don't fully trust it. We're not willing to obey it in every part. We're not willing to come to the Word of God and allow the Spirit to be our teacher. We come to the Word of God to make it say what we want and how we want. We've forgotten some basic thoughts and principles. We've forgotten the words of Paul and Peter. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 say that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, Peter said it this way, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Folks, tonight as we come and as we gather together in this place, as that Bible that you hold in your lap sits there before you, I trust that you realize that God's Word can be trusted. It is a trustworthy book. And it is a book that we ought to obey. Because it is God's inspired word. It was given that it might teach us, that it might convict us, that it might correct us, that it might set us aright and send us on the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, that we would be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. What we have before us is not the very words of men, it is the very words of God. And they spoke as they were moved of God. So as we come to the Word of God, we must remember it is a Bible that is worth trusting, and it is a Word that demands our obedience. Those who are not diligent to study will never fully comprehend all that God wants them to understand. And we must be diligent in our study of every part. We forget the admonition again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's crucial that you and I understand the Word of God. And the final step in ensuring that we remain on a sure foundation is that we learn to use the proper methods of interpreting the Word of God. And so we are spending the vast majority of our time in this study talking about interpretation, that second step. Because without proper interpretation, we're never going to make the right application. And we want to be a people that are to the praise and the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to be a people that are pleasing unto Him. We want to be those that bring all glory and honor unto Him. And it is crucial that we know how to interpret the Word of God. Last Sunday evening, we looked at two basic roads that one can take in their approach of the interpretation of the Scripture. There is, first of all, the allegorical approach. We talked about this last week. The allegorical approach has a controlling principle. Anybody remember what the controlling principle of the allegorical approach is? I heard it. Grace. The controlling principle of the allegorical approach to interpretation is the grace of God. And what it means is this, that God has done all things throughout human history to manifest His grace to mankind. From that position, from that controlling principle, comes a theology known as covenant theology. We also hear those talk of Reformed theology. It is closely linked, although not synonymous, with 5 points of Calvinism. Through this approach of interpreting the Scripture, we run into a major decision. What do we do with the church in Israel? Those who approach the Scripture from an allegorical approach will take the truths of Israel and apply them now to the church of Jesus Christ. They teach that the church is the spiritual Israel. Therefore, all the blessings and all the promises that once were given to the line of David, to the people of Israel, to the Jews, belong now to the church. And from that, some have taught a doctrine called amillennialism, in which there is no need for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. But there's a second road, I think a better road, and it is known as the literal approach. The controlling principle of the literal approach is not the grace of God, but the glory of God. Meaning that God throughout all ages has done all things to manifest to mankind His glory. I believe we find that, by the way, even in passages like Psalm 19, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. God has done all things to show to man His glory. And the system of theology that emerges from that is known, as we mentioned last week, dispensationalism. And through this approach, Israel and the church are two separate entities. Each have their promises, and each have their distinct end. The end of the church is the rapture. And we're looking forward to that day when we'll hear the trumpet sound, and the voice of the archangel shout, and we which who are alive and remain will follow those that are dead in Christ, and we will meet the Lord forever in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The end of Israel culminates in the millennial reign of Christ. Throughout the Scripture, there has been a teaching of the kingdom of God. And there is a day coming where Jesus Christ will rule and reign upon this earth. He will take the throne of His father David, and He will there rule this earth for 1,000 years. And He will be sovereign of all the earth. Tonight I want to continue in our study of these basics of interpretation. I want to see some basic presuppositions with regards to biblical interpretation. And time permitting, I want to look at some basic principles as well. When we come to the interpretation of the Word of God, there are certain presuppositions that we must come with. That which separates the believer from the unbeliever is the basic presupposition about the Bible. And the ramifications of one's presuppositions are enormous. In fact, Robertson McQuilkin points this out. A person's presuppositions will determine to a large extent how he understands and interprets the Scriptures. All true believers come to the truth that the Bible is the Word of God, and that the Bible reveals to us the person of God and His will for man. That basic presupposition separates the believer from the unbeliever. If you look at the Word of God and you say, I don't believe it's God's Word, I don't believe it's true, I deny all of its doctrines, I deny what it teaches about the deity of Christ, then folks, you're not a believer. But because I believe the Word of God to be true and all that it teaches, and that God has revealed that which I need to know, I am set apart from the unbelievers of this world. There are two basic presuppositions that I want us to see about the Bible that I think are important when we come to its interpretation. The first is this. There is a presupposition about the Bible being supernatural in character. The Bible is supernatural in character. As you and I come to the study of the Word of God, as you come to seek its understanding and its meaning and interpret its truth, we should come with the basic thought that we believe the Bible to be a supernatural book. It is a book inspired by God. And the more that one studies the Bible, and the more one understands the truth of the Word of God, the more that truth is clearly seen. I want you to consider a couple things with me. Number one, the Bible was written over a period of 1,500 years. And in that 1,500 years, God used over 40 different authors to be able to pen for us the truth of God's Word. Those authors wrote during different periods of human history. They wrote during different political climates and in the midst of different world empires. They would be able to write from different locales. They would write in even different languages. Yet as you come to the study of the Word of God, we find this truth that the Bible is unified in its message. And there are no contradictions to be found. There's a unified message without contradiction. And as you understand that thought, that over a period of 1,500 years, with 40 different authors, not once do they stray from the message. Not once does a writer contradict the basics of God's Word concerning salvation. From the very beginning, old and new, there is one line of thought, right, about salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God through faith. Moses wrote about that in Genesis. And John would write about it in his Gospels, his epistles, as would Paul, even though they were spread out by many years, completely different cultures, and some even wrote in different languages. And yet they all said the same thing. Throughout that we find the line of truth concerning the kingdom, and there is no differences, there's no contradictions. The Bible is a supernatural book. And you and I can rest assured that because it is a supernatural book, and we can believe that it is, first of all, authoritative. God is the author of the Bible. And as such, the Bible is the final authority in all matters. Again, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is God-breathed. It's inspired by Him. To stress that point, all one needs to really do is consider the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles. When we come to understanding the fact that it's a supernatural book, and as such it is authoritative, it's interesting to come to your New Testament and consider how the Lord Jesus Christ viewed the Old Testament. How the apostles viewed the Old Testament, which was the very words of God. And folks, they treated it as a supernatural book. In fact, one of the most common of all phrases in your New Testament is simply this: as it is written. Your New Testament has over 200 direct quotes from the Old Testament. And when the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles would quote the scripture of the Old Testament, you will find that they quoted and that was all that they needed. That was authoritative. Jesus Christ would come and he would declare, as it is written. And that settled the issue. Because the Bible is authoritative. Because it is a supernatural book. And what God says is the final authority. And that issue should be settled for you and me. We need not argue its teaching and its truth. When God says it, we need to accept it as so. Because God's word is authoritative. And it is also trustworthy. Since God is the author of the Word of God, the Bible, and the Bible is supernatural in character, then the Bible can be trusted wholly. As a whole and in every part, what a blessing it is to know that we can take God at His Word. Folks, your Bible is a supernatural book, inspired by Almighty God. Over a period of 1,500 years, through the pens of 40 different authors, it is unified in its message. There is no contradiction. I can only imagine if you and I were to sit down and get 40 of us together, and I would say to you, let's write our constitution for our church. How many different messages we would get! Well, I'm pretty sure this is what we believe. No, this is really what we believe. We wouldn't get that. And we certainly wouldn't get that over a span of years without the opportunity to be able to communicate one with another. Yet the Bible is absolutely the Word of God. It is a supernatural book. And it is authoritative and it is trustworthy. There's another presupposition, and that is this: the Bible is natural in character. The Bible is natural in character. It is a supernatural book, inspired by Almighty God, given to us. It is authoritative and it is trustworthy. But you know, we have to understand that the Bible, when it comes to interpreting its truth, is a book that is natural in character. Here's what we mean by that. The Bible is a book in which God used human instruments to communicate to other men according to the basic laws of communication. Holy men of God spake as they were moved, but they spoke using their natural ways of communication and using their various styles. And so as we come and as we interpret the Word of God, we do so according to the natural laws of communication. Paul was a scholar. And as such, he wrote in a way that we would expect one to write who was well-trained and well-educated. In fact, the book of Romans is so well written that in the United States it is still used in every law school to teach them how to lay out an argument and how to win in court. Because it is so skillfully written, it is so masterfully done, and we would expect nothing else from Paul. But I wouldn't expect Peter to write in the same way. Peter was a fisherman.
Luke was a medical doctor, and as such, he would use terms from his line of work. You'll remember the story in the Gospels where the Lord Jesus Christ would say, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." You know, Luke uses a different term than all the other writers of the Gospel for the word needle. It's actually a different Greek word. And the word that he uses is one that would refer to a medical needle used for suturing. He used the medical term. Now, Mark and Matthew probably didn't know that term. Or they wouldn't use it because it's not part of their normal vocabulary. It's not from their line of work. So he communicated to us in that way. So when we come to study the Bible, it's important that we interpret a passage according to the natural sense. There is no need for us to search for hidden meanings. And those who follow the allegorical approach are always coming to a passage looking for the hidden meanings. Folks, God wrote that mankind could understand His Word. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He was trying to reveal His will. And He used men and all their natural abilities to communicate His words and His thoughts. And as we interpret the Word of God, we do so naturally. In the rules of interpretation, we always speak of the golden rule. The golden rule actually says this. I like this statement. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. So when you take your Bible and you open up to a passage of Scripture and you begin to observe what the Bible says and you begin to ask yourself, what's it mean? What's common sense tell you that it means? If the plain sense makes common sense, don't go looking for other sense. Well, let's maybe find there's a hidden meaning behind all of these things. That's not what we need to do when we come to the study of His Word. If the plain sense makes common sense, seek no other sense. We want to interpret the Scriptures literally. And according to the natural laws of communication. We understand that, do we not? As we read people's communications, as we have conversations. And you know what? Sometimes we use things like similes. And we use illustrations. And we say that someone is like something when really they're not like that thing. And they don't look like that. But it's a way to express that. We have those figures of speech and none of us go, I wonder what the hidden meaning is that. We understand it to mean what it means. And the Bible's written in the same way. And we need to understand the natural sense of the Word of God. There are some basic principles of Bible interpretation. And briefly tonight, I want to conclude with three of these this evening. I'm simply going to state them because we're going to go into greater detail of these later. But I want you to see them with me. First of all, tonight, I want you to see with me this truth. Since the Bible was written by human beings, it must be treated as any other human communication in determining the meaning intended by the writer. Again, what that means is